scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? $1, $1, then $2. Who'll make it $3? $3 once, $3 twice, and going for $3, but no. From the room far back, an old gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bowl. Then wiping the dust from the old violin, he tightened up all the loose strings, and he played a melody pure and sweet, like a caroling angel sings. Well, then the music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "Now what's your bid for this old violin?" And he held it up with the bow. $1,000, who'll make it $2? $2,000, and who'll make it $3? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, and going and gone, said he. Well, then the people cheered, but some of them cried, "We just don't quite understand. What changed its worth?" Swift came the reply, "The touch of the master's hand." And many a man with his life out of tune, and battered and scarred by sin, is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, just like this old violin. A mess up, a hand, a trip or two, a fix, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and he's almost gone. But then the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul, and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand.
I greet you in the precious name of our Lord, Savior, and Healer, Jesus Christ. This is John S. Terrell speaking for the European American Evangelistic Crusades, and I'm very happy to be able to come to you today and to be able to share Lesson 30 with you. That is called To Learn to Wait Upon the Lord. I play that song for you, The Touch of the Master's Hand, because I really feel that is a beautiful song. And as we are still and waiting upon the Lord, He is able to touch us and to heal us and move us in a direction that He wants. Shall we begin right now by praying? Our Heavenly Father, thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, that we can come now and share lesson number 30. And I praise You, Father, for this third Bible study course that is going out around the world, changing people's lives and making them more effective in the kingdom of God. I thank You now, Lord, that You're going to anoint me, You're going to anoint the tapes, and Lord, as they are played, Your Holy Spirit will be there in a tremendous way, ministering to the people, regardless in what part of the world they are at. You are the same any place. Like the Bible says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank You, Lord. Just anoint me now in such a way that I shall speak the words of heaven and nothing of myself. And this I ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm trusting now that your study leaders, if you're studying in a group, that everyone got their books, paper, pencils, pens, whatever. And let's turn to page number 29 today in your books, page number 29. And we want to talk about to learn to wait upon the Lord. It's a hard lesson. And the first statement we want to make is this. We got to learn to be in the center of God's timing. We got to learn to be in the center of God's timing. Now, as you are progressing in your growth and beginning to come out of your confusion, you must learn another tremendous lesson, and that is to be in the center of God's timing. Now, in our last lesson, we mentioned that God is building for eternity, and that He is moving on this earth according to eternity time. Humans do not like to wait for someone because this means submission. But in order for us to be used by God, we must be moved from temporary time into eternity time. And let's move to Psalms 123 and see what the Bible is teaching us on this subject. The psalmist says, "Unto you lift I up mine eyes, O you that dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that He has mercy upon us." In these days, when this psalm was written, which is over some 3,000 years ago, the servants were very submissive. They had been trained not to think of their own free will. They had been trained to simply accommodate every wish that their owners had. And this is a picture that David is using, that you and I, as believers in Christ, we should simply look upon the hand of our God, and we should be waiting still until He tells us to move. We should not be doing anything until the Lord has commissioned us. A servant waits patiently for orders from his master. He will not start a job until he is told to start, and then he will work diligently to finish it and please his master. You must learn that God is never late, never early, but always on time according to eternity time. Now, this is one of the hardest lessons we can ever learn, and that is that we think that things must happen right now, yesterday. We set a time schedule, but we can neither rush God, we can never speed Him up, we cannot slow Him down, but God is moving according to perfect eternity time. We must also learn to stop thinking for God. So many times we think that we have God figured out, and we begin to set a pattern, only to find that God is not following the pattern that we have designed. Now, the Bible states this very clearly. In Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, we read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Some people try to manipulate God, so to say. They simply try to set up God in such a way that He will work in patterns. And we say, this is the way God moved yesterday. This is the way He moved the day before. And because of that, we simply says, now God, you got to come in the same way. But as you read the Gospels, you will find that Jesus Christ, for example, He almost never healed a man or a woman the same way. Sometimes he touched them. Sometimes he made a clay. Sometimes he just sent them away. Sometimes he only spoke a word. He didn't have a set pattern. And he said in John, the third chapter, he said, the wind blows where it wants. And that's the way with our Holy Spirit. We must simply learn that as servants, we must move with God. God does not have to move with us. Now, if you try to rush God or to slow him down, you are in a reality saying that God is wrong and you have the answers. Surely there must have been times in your life when you have argued with God over his timing. He did not do what you wanted right now. He did not give you the finances when you thought you needed them. But you must learn, as we read in Psalm 123, that we are to wait patiently for God. You got to learn to turn directly to God and in total faith wait for God to move in your life. And this is something that we must be taught, because we don't have this. This doesn't come natural. I haven't seen anyone born with a lot of patience. And this also includes myself. It was early in 1967 that God really was beginning to teach me about patience and waiting. I had just received a call to go into the ministry. There was not a shadow of my doubt, but God had called me to preach. I was going to be an evangelist and simply preach my heart out and go into the whole world. Immediately, my head swelled up with pride, and I was ready to storm out into the world and set up the kingdom of God. Notice now, God was not going to set up his kingdom, but I was simply going to set it up for him. There was no time to waste because God had called me. But there was one small problem. God did not open a door for me. So I decided to help God and open one for myself. As my wife looked on with horror, I recorded a reel tape which I sent to Billy Graham. On this tape, I gave my testimony, told him of my call as an evangelist, and then stated that it would be a privilege for him to sponsor me as an evangelist to Sweden, since Swedish was my native language. I can praise God now that I never heard one word from Billy Graham or his people. And God let me wait until 1971, until I was ready to go back to Sweden for the first time to preach the gospel. Yes, I had a call to go to Sweden and preach the gospel also to other countries in Europe. But the problem was that my timing was not right. I received the call to enter into the ministry, to prepare myself. But I did not understand that there was a waiting period before God was ready to send me out. And this is something you got to learn. Never move ahead of God. Never try to move ahead of God. There is nothing more dangerous than for churches or individuals to say, God has not spoken to us yet, but we cannot wait any longer. We are going to start moving, right or wrong. When we do this, we have left God behind us. And he will not be responsible for anything that will happen from that moment. It may lead to a great catastrophe for ourselves as well as for others. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I are simply to say this, well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit here and take it easy. I'm not going to move for God. Because God has already given you and me our basic orders, and they are clear, very clear. We read in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. You see, when God called me into the ministry, He had already other things for me at that time. I was a Sunday school superintendent. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was involved with the Gideons. I was a chaplain of the Gideon camp in Salt Lake City, Utah. And there was a number of things that God already had me doing. And He simply wanted me to continue while He was preparing me for seminary and vocational training as a minister. This goes also for your life. You that are listening to this message today, there are already things that you are doing for the Lord. And our basic calling to be a witness and to minister to the people that God has around us will never leave us. We are to do this. And the basic call to evangelism that every church, every fellowship has, must be carried out. But there is one thing that is important. If you remember, before Jesus allowed His disciples to move out and commence this work that they were called out to do, they were told to wait and pray. Not until they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, where they allowed to start carrying out their commissions. And we can read about this in Acts 1, 4 through 5, and also verse number 8. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, says He, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. In spite now of this very, very clear teaching that Jesus Christ gave His own apostles and the rest of them, there was 120 altogether, men and women. There are many churches today and denominations that are sending out pastors, evangelists, missionaries, and other workers who have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. No wonder there are so many in the kingdom of God who have had nervous breakdowns, or who have gotten sick, and thus have had to leave their tasks. And how many servants of the Lord have fallen into the pitfall of the devil, and become snared into sin because there was no Holy Spirit power in their lives. We read in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. If you are listening to my voice today, and you have not received a baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have not been endowed with the gifts, and I'm talking about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit, they are not operating in your life. I would say this, I don't care what people say, but you are not ready for combat. Before you can even think about moving into combat, you must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Churches often sin also in this area during their business meetings. They don't wait for God, they don't pray. The chairman drives a meeting hard and fast, and very seldom does a congregation have a chance to pray and seek God's face before they vote. It is no wonder that God has a hard time reigning through His church and through us as individuals, since we grieved our Holy Spirit. No wonder the churches do not reach the masses of unsaved people in this earth. And they also have problems keeping their members in church and to stay active. Yes, remember this. If God have not ordered something, if God has not commanded a certain project to be started, don't you dare to start it, because if you do, you're going to have to, what you start in the flesh, you're going to have to finish in the flesh. Now, what is born out of spirit has life, but that which is born out of the flesh does not have any life. Let's move now and talk about obedience. To learn obedience is very, very hard. It is often a very painful process. Now, God says that we must learn to trust in Him. We talked about that already in previous lessons. And this is extremely important, that you remember now that your only source is God. Your Heavenly Father is your only source. There are no other sources by which you can move. I thought that I had learned that, but actions show differently. Some years ago, I had a savings account. I saved regularly, and one day I had saved more than $500. Then some thoughts came to me. If God did not come through with certain things, I could always rely upon my savings account. You ever done that? Some of you are retired, you rely upon the Social Security system, and some of you are employed, and you are relying upon that paycheck that comes in twice a month or once a month, whatever. But I simply begin to rely upon my savings account. And I said, now, if God doesn't come through, I just pay it myself. And God saw that, and He began to move. I got into one financial crisis after another, and one day my savings account was down to zero. Then God asked me, who is the source in your life? Is it me or your savings account? Humiliated, crushed, and without any way of helping myself, I had to confess that God was my only source. And from that day, the battle turned, and God started to bless me again. Now, we must learn not to lean and trust in ourselves, in our churches, or in others. And we can read about this in Psalms 146, verses 3 through 5. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goes forth, he returns to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Trust in the Lord is a secret to a life in Christ. You got to learn to trust in the Lord. Some lessons ago, I shared with you that I was facing rent and a few other bills the next week. Well, when I record this message, it's about a week later, and I faced them. And in faith, I knew, I told you, that God was going to come through, and God did. And I have learned today not to fret, not to worry, because He doesn't do a thing for us, but simply to trust in God and continue to do the things that He has called me to do. And that's the same thing with you. If we have this, there will be never be any reason for panic, even if it looks like God is delaying his answer. You and I need Jesus always. We must learn that we are never going to come to the point in our lives that we can do things without him. When God stops, we stop. When God moves, we move. Now, these are very basic things. These are so basic that they might seem childish to you. And yet, you learn these very basic things, and you are going to have great, great success in your Christian life. If you push the panic button, it can cost you dearly. Now, read chapter 13 in the book of 1 Samuel. Now, Saul had been told by God through the prophet Samuel that he was to wait for God. But in verse 8, the people had enough and began to leave him. And in verse 9, we find that Saul hit the panic button. The result of his sin and of disobedience is found in verses 13 and 14. Saul lost his life. God had simply said, Saul, don't move, sit tight, just be quiet, pray, don't worry. But when the people got impatient, when they began to push him around, he suddenly was gripped with panic and he said, I better do something, I do something religious. And he blew it all. How many pastors haven't been pushed over the brink? Their congregations have come on up and said, Pastor, you got to do something. You got to move. We don't know what it is, but do something. Right the wrong, do it. And instead of being a man of God and saying, no, I am not, because God has not told me yet, they move, and then they are sorry. Learn this. God is never late, but he will not come in a time that you and I set for him. We can never set a time schedule for God. We simply going to have to learn to move with God. Now you might ask this question, why are we to wait? Why all this waiting? What does it serve? What's the purpose? Well, let's read what the Bible says in Exodus 24:12. Exodus 24:12. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And I will give you tables of stone and a law and commandments, which I have written, that you may teach them. Now, when God told Moses to come on up, he didn't tell him to pray. He didn't tell him to worry. He didn't tell him to do anything. He simply says, come on up, be still, and wait. Be still. Rest. Do nothing but wait. If you read down in verse 16, you will find that the glory of the Lord covered the whole mountain. And for 6 days, Moses had to wait. And then on the 7th day, God called for Moses. Now, why wait for 6 days? Why wait at all? Now, all men and women that have been used by God had to learn to wait upon the Lord. You will find this in the entire Bible. Man must be prepared so that God can work through him. We are too busy, too excited. God cannot move. While Moses was waiting for the Lord, something happened to the people. They were in the flesh and they could not wait. They forced Aaron to lead them in their religious activities. Now, how many pastors have not committed a sin? The members have forced them to become Aaronites and to lead a church in all kinds of religious abominations because they did not have the patience to wait upon the Lord. If you want to read about a tragedy, read Exodus chapter 32. And here you have confusion at its worst. when Moses came down, many of the people had to die. God simply began to punish them. And they had to pay for it with their lives because they had been without patience. Have you learned to wait upon the Lord? Psalm 37:7 we read, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass." When you call someone on the telephone, you do not talk all the time. You are also quiet and listen. And it is the same way when it comes to our prayer life. Most Christians call up God. They talk wildly, and I never wait for an answer. If you're going to be able to hear God, you must also learn to be still and wait. Do you have those moments in your prayer life when you are still and waiting? Remember, an overheated human soul can sometimes do more damage than a demon. Let us again discover that God is God and that we are His servants. Let us learn to worship Him and to give Him our adoration as our King. Let us learn to wait upon the Lord. Habakkuk 2:20 we read, "But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. And in Lamentation 3:26 we read, "It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." So simply now, as you're growing in Christ and taking another further step on your spiritual journey, it is important that you learn to be still, to worship, and to wait upon the Lord. Let's talk now about three keys to harvest. And I think that these are very important in this lesson now. As you are waiting and still, there are three keys that God wants you to learn. Now, when Moses waited for God, Moses was being prepared spiritually to receive the commandments that were already designed and written by God before the foundation of the world. You got to realize something now. God cannot prosper you beyond the maturity of your spirit and soul. I'd like to read something to you from the 3rd epistle of John, the 2nd verse. "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Now, God wants us to prosper in health and in everything else. But He cannot prosper us beyond the maturity of our souls and spirits. You see, you will not move any faster in the kingdom of God than what you have grown spiritually. As we stated in earlier lessons, God has outlined our lives and made plans for them before our physical birth. But we must be still so that God can prepare our hearts and speak to us. When we are busy, when we are working for God, when we are out on the firing line, He cannot communicate with us. So He simply has to pull us off from time to time to let us rest, so we can communicate, so we can worship, and that He can speak to us again. This is something God really wants, And let's read in Habakkuk 1:5. Behold you among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. Unless God prepares us, unless God tells us in advance, we will not believe it when it happens. Now God is working a marvelous work among the heathen today. The gospel is being proclaimed over the whole world, and the book of Acts is coming alive through the power of the Holy Spirit. As you are waiting and still, here is what God wants to tell you so that you can begin to move out. Key number one, we must be willing to work the works of God. We must be willing to work the works of God. And we read in the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, verse number 28 through 29. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Are you doing the works of God? Are you really doing the things that you are called by God to do? Or are you simply busy doing things that other people think that you should do? Or are you doing things that you think that you should do? Or are you doing the works of God? But even before a person can begin to do the works of God, we can only begin to move into that by accepting Christ as your Lord, Savior, Healer, and Baptizer. And we read in Luke 9:23, and Jesus said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What is your calling? What is your cross? Now maybe you have never looked at this before. Maybe you have never stopped long enough for God to speak to you. You must begin today to seek God's face so that you may know your calling. Where is your place of service? What is the timing that God has given to you? What does he really want you to do? What does he want you to do? What are the gifts he has given you? Be still. Search your heart and let God speak to you. Because if you're not doing the works of God, you're moving in the flesh and you will get so tired. Key number two, there must be spiritual timing. In Matthew 26:18 we read, and Jesus said, go into the city to such a man and said to him, the master says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. There was a time to be born. There was a time for Jesus to minister. And there was a time for him to die. When the time had come for him to die, everything was prepared, and the disciples could simply move in the works of God that were prepared before the foundation of this world. Everything that God does is done on eternity time. This is a time that moves in cycles. You find this in Genesis chapter 1, when God tells us about the timing of creation. In Genesis 3:15, God told Adam and Eve that the head of the serpent would eventually be crushed. But it was not until thousands of years later that God called Abraham and began to lay the groundwork for sending his son, Jesus Christ. From the calling of Abraham, it took some 2,000 years before the redemption work in Christ was finished. And then God moved for the church of Jesus Christ within 300 years until man grieved the Holy Spirit and choked the growth of the church. And God then waited some 1,200 years until the man was willing to be used. His name, Martin Luther. Another 100 years, and God began sending revivals to the earth. Today, the Holy Spirit is moving in the earth in a mightier way than it did in the first century A.D. You got to learn something. Get in tune with God and learn to touch His throne. Methods are not sacred. We cannot say, this is the way we've always done evangelistic work. We might do it that way again. We might not. Methods are not sacred. God is. Be not afraid of change, but learn to adjust to the moving of the Holy Spirit. I want you to learn something right now. First of all, timing is anointing from God. You see, right now I am in the process of recording this series, course number 3. Now, I have had this printed for maybe a month, and I knew that eventually now I was going to finish it. But then there came a time about a week or 2 weeks ago when God simply spoke in my heart and said, John, this is a time. This is the time that I have anointed you for now to record these lessons. So simply now I am doing what God said. I'm recording one lesson a day, a 1 hour message a day. When I first started this type of ministry, I recorded 4 to 5 lessons a day, and by the end of the day, the quality was terrible. God taught me, John, one lesson a day, be refreshed, review it, pray, take time, and do a good job. There is an anointing from the Lord. When God wants you to go to a certain place, He will anoint you for this task, and everything will fall into place. Learn that anointings will come and go. When God says that you are finished, the anointing will leave you. There was a time when God told me that I was to minister in Sweden. I've been over there 4 or 5 times. And then God said, now, I'm going to anoint you for something else. In the beginning, I tried to buck it. I said, Lord, you don't understand. There are so many people in Sweden that need to be saved. There are so many people now that we're beginning to touch with our ministry. And we want to finish. And God said, John, shut up. This is not your business. Do what I tell you. You see, timing is anointing for God. You might have been in the same church for 35 years. You might have been doing the same things over and over again for a long, long time. And you haven't understood that maybe God, for years ago, wanted to move you on. The second thing is, timing is also geographical. The Holy Spirit will lead you. He will lead you to the place, to that right place at the right time to meet the right people. Now, if you learn to wait and be still in the Lord, God will move you in tune with the moving of the Holy Spirit. The war on this earth that is being fought between God and the kingdom of darkness. We got to learn one thing. God is the commander in chief. God has many soldiers, many units around the world. And we are coordinated through the power and the office of the Holy Spirit. Now, the moment when certain local commanders, like pastors and denominational leaders and prayer groups leader and so on, they try to coordinate and move without the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we make a mess. So we're simply going to have to learn to wait, be still in the Lord, and God will move you in tune with a moving of the Holy Spirit. When God is ready to send revival to a certain place, you will be there. Now, if you try to go to a certain place and stir up revival, nothing will happen. But if God is stirring up revival because His people have been praying, He will send you there, then you will meet a tremendous success in the kingdom of God. When people are ready to be saved, you will be there. When you are moving in the Holy Spirit, God will simply move you in such a way that you will bump into, you will meet the absolutely right person He wants you to talk with, so that you can do the job that He wants you to do. Now, the organized church has repeatedly missed the timing of God. The Jewish state church totally missed the birth and life of Jesus Christ. Time and time again, the church has failed to learn that God speaks to men, not to committees. This is something that is very important. So many times, we simply try to have please everybody. We have committee meetings, and we think, you know, that God will speak to people on masses. God has not moved that way. Now, God confirms it through His body. But God speaks to men and women, and then all the body can do is to confirm it. You got to know that God is a God of order and perfect timing. If we miss God's timing, we almost never get a second chance to do the job. That's important. If God has called you to something, you blew it. Very seldom do you get a second opportunity to do the job. Either somebody else will, or the job is not going to be done. So this is important, that you learn to be sensitive. You must learn to wait and listen and to entirely be moving in the power of the Holy Ghost. And then we have key number 3. Know how to deal with the negative forces of unbelief. James 1, 6 through 8 we read, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." Now, when you have learned to move in the anointing of God, when you have learned to be in the right place, you will encounter opposition from people. Don't expect people to simply sit back and watch you and help you. They will tear you down. As soon as you have become still and are waiting for the Lord to speak to you, then Satan will immediately attack you with doubt and unbelief. Now, you must learn to how to defeat the devil in your mind and thought life. Today, I was talking on the telephone with a couple of people, and this very morning started out very bad for me, because it was rejection, negative criticism, not anything upbuilding, but simply a tearing down. And I had to pray and say, "Now, Lord, Father, I need your help. Because in myself, I cannot understand this. I cannot take this." And then God comforted my heart. This is important. The battle is in your mind and in your thought life. Instead of doubting God, start to doubt the devil and what he is telling you. Learn not to question God and His Word, the Bible. Instead, develop the habit of always doubting your doubts. learn that behind every written word in the Bible stands a living word, Jesus Christ. If Jesus said he's going to back us up, he is. He will never leave us or forsake us. You must also learn to overcome the influence of friends and church members who heap unbelief upon you. They may not understand your visions from God. They may be jealous and eager to tear you apart. Only share with those that God leads you to. But before you can become spiritually usable in the kingdom of God, you must learn to conquer these negative forces. And let me tell you, brother and sister, I have had my share, and I'm not through yet. We have one day of a tremendous victory. We have one day of meetings when the Holy Spirit moves in power. Then I know that the next day there will be an onslaught of friends, workers, people that are supposed to be moving in the anointing of God that will simply come and tear me up and tear the ministry up. And they will come with an onslaught of negative things. I have learned there are visions that God has given me. This type of ministry right now with these cassette albums and the books going out over the world is a vision that God gave me about 10 years ago. But at that time I couldn't share it. It wasn't possible. People did not believe that I could do it. They did not believe that God wanted it. But I knew. And today we are doing it because I know that the Holy Spirit has anointed me to do this. It is not me. It is God. Now, until you learn to conquer the negative forces, God cannot send you out in a great way. You must conquer them. And until you have learned that, you will be of no effect in the kingdom of God. Now you might understand why the apostles had to wait in Jerusalem until they had been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Without that, they were not able to cope with the forces of the devil. There is another thing you must also learn. As you're waiting and still in the front of the Lord, listen to what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You cannot expect God to move in your life if you are associating with people of unbelief and scorn. I now have simply come to the point, yes, I will minister to anyone. I will pray and talk with anyone that needs Christ, but I will not be friends. I will not invite them to my house. I will not invite people that gossip, that tear other people down, that always talk negative, always complaining. I don't want to be around these people because they destroy the anointing of God. I want to surround myself with friends. I want to surround myself with people that love the Lord, that have faith, that talk positive, that have visions, and that wants to move for Christ. Again, I want to repeat this. You cannot expect God to move in your life if you are associating with people of unbelief and scorn. You got to learn to leave them and press on for God and His victories. You must learn to say what Joshua said when he spoke in 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is something I learned. There's no buts, bones about it. If I want to move on with God, there are certain people that I got to leave behind and simply say, I'm sorry, I love you, but I am called of God. And I got to move with God. I cannot stay where you are. Some people are stuck in an area. Some people feel, you know, that this is where God wanted us to be. Some people are stuck with methods. And they cannot change. They cannot move with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then you got to make a choice. Either you stay and die with them, or you move with the Holy Spirit. Also learn this. You will never have to defend yourself. Turn away from people with unbelief and let God take care of them. After all, the battle is the Lord's. And never forget when you see people in their ugliness that you are not fighting them, but the powers that make them do evil. In Ephesians 6:12 we read, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." It is not your friends that are crucifying you. It is not your wife or your husband, but it is the devil behind them that is using them to get to you. Know this, if the devil cannot defeat you, he will try to defeat someone whose defeat will defeat you. Let us now learn to wait upon the Lord and to be still and to allow Him to speak to us. And we read in Isaiah 40:31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." I want to urge you to do something. Not only listen to this lesson once, but now take the outline. Read it very carefully. Read the scripture references. Pray over it. And then learn that there must be moments in your life when you turn aside, when you go to God, when you pray, and when you simply learn to wait upon a God. Learn now to move in the anointing, to have the right spiritual timing, and to defeat those with unbelief. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You now for these moments that You have given us together. And Lord, I thank You for the object lesson that You taught me today, that as I was severely criticized this morning and severely hounded down, Lord, that You taught me a lesson that before I can move on and teach others, I have to conquer this in my own life. And I thank You now, Lord, that I have the joy of You in my heart, that I'm going to move on with You despite what other people say. I'm commissioned by You, not by men. And I'm simply going to trust in You, Lord, all the way until I get home. Father, help every listener that heard this lesson today. Help them, Lord, to come to the understanding that they must wait and move in You, not in their own strength. Thank You for ministering to them right now. In Jesus' name, amen. This has been John S. Terrell speaking to you for the European American Evangelistic Crusades, and I pray that God is changing your life. God bless you.
I read in the Bible the promise of God that nothing for Him is too hard. Impossible things He has promised to do if we faithfully trust in His word. Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in His word. Hearken to the voice of God to thee. Is there anything too hard for me? Then come to trust in God alone and rest upon His word. For everything, the Lord is an anchor secure. when winds of uncertainty blow. Though man in his weakness may falter and fail, his word will not fail, as we know.
Nothing is impossible when you put your trust in God. Nothing is impossible when you're trusting in God.